We're going to get the Word of God here a little bit tonight. Most on Sunday night, I just haul off from there back and preach a little while. Tonight, I'm going to do it just a little bit slower and do about half teach and preach. And so, you stay with me tonight. We'll start in 1 Kings chapter 4. And I'm not just going to read some scripture and then let you just sit there and listen. I'm going to have you turn to several other scriptures with me. So I'm asking you to keep your Bibles open tonight. We're going to do a little Bible study this evening. And I'm going to show you one of the great truths here in 1 Kings. Now, if you've never read 1 Kings, you're really, really, really missing a blessing. People that never get in the Old Testament, there's some of the greatest stories about life and lessons on human nature in the Old Testament as you'll find anywhere in the world. The Bible is the book on human nature. And the longer I live, then I've never ceased to be amazed at human nature. It's just something else. So we're learning something about it tonight. 1 Kings chapter 4, and look at verse 32. And then I'm going to have you back there a whole bunch now. So please keep your Bibles open, and we're going to go back and forth to several scriptures tonight. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32. Now, this is talking about Solomon here. And the Bible said, and he, Solomon, spoke 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. They brag about John Lennon and Paul McCartney. They couldn't touch Solomon with a 29-foot pole. Amen. And he didn't write stupid stuff like Yellow Submarine and junk like that. Amen. He wrote the Song of Solomon. How about that? Amen. He didn't write ignorant things like Rubber Soul and stuff like that, and that, and it lasts forever. So what is the name of that song? Hey Jude, yeah. He didn't write stupid idiot songs like that. He wrote something that had some substance to it. 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, and the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, and even under the hyssop that springeth out of the way, out of the wall. He spake also of beast, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. Now there's a little phrase there in verse 34 that I'll use for a title tonight. The wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom of Solomon. That's what the title of the message is tonight. Everybody has heard of the wisest man that's ever lived on this planet beside the Lord Jesus Christ himself. His name was Solomon. Solomon was the son of David and Bathsheba. The same Bathsheba that David had committed the sin with, stole her from her husband, had her husband murdered. God had put all that behind him. That baby had died. And then God blessed them with this boy named Solomon. And God let this young man be heir to the throne when David died. David reigned 40 years over the kingdom, 33 of one place, or 3 at Jerusalem, 7 in the other place, at Judah. And as he passed on the throne to King Solomon, the Bible said that God came to Solomon one night. And that's how all this got started. And now you hear people say, the wisdom of Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. So I'm going to talk about wisdom tonight, and I want every young person to listen up. Listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you this evening. I'm not going to preach like I usually do. I'm just going to about half teach and half preach and instruct a little bit this evening, and then we'll go get some ice cream or something. So you look here, and keep your Bibles open there to 1 Kings chapter 4, and I'm going to be turning to some other things. I want to say three things about it this evening. Number one, I'm going to talk about what is wisdom. What is wisdom? Now, we all would like to think that we're wise, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? I mean, everybody likes to think they're smart. Most people do think they're smart. And we all hope we have. But we're going to understand wisdom tonight. Let me explain tonight the difference between wisdom and knowledge. There is a tremendous difference between wisdom and knowledge. Somebody put it like this. Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge. Like if I had an axe up here tonight, that was a double-bladed sharp axe, that would be knowledge. Now, me and Abel would take it like this and put it right where I want it in a tree and cut the tree down would be wisdom. The axe is no good without the wisdom of somebody. Matter of fact, you can do a lot of damage with an axe without knowing how to use it. You can mess up stuff and you can help with an axe if somebody don't know how to handle the axe. So wisdom is the right use of knowledge. That's why the Bible said get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. We're living in a generation who thinks that knowledge is the best thing in the world. I mean, everywhere you go, people say, education, education, pushing education. All these young people, that's all they hear. Get in college, get in college, get in college, get in college. No more. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against education, as long as it's not against the Bible. I'm not against it. I think everybody need to get all you can all you get. And you need to have it down in your heart, and there's nothing wrong with knowledge. But if you ain't got no sense, it's a dangerous thing. And some of the dumbest people I've ever met in my life had an education about that long. Degrees enough to pop a thermometer. Education without salvation is damnation. And the most dangerous people in the world are people that know a lot and don't have any wisdom from God. Amen? That's right. And so, brother, the difference between wisdom and knowledge is knowledge can be memorized. Wisdom must think things through. Here's the difference. I'm sitting in school. Teacher says, Danny, what's 2 plus 2? 4. What's 4 plus 4? 8. What's 8 plus 8? 16. Now, that's knowledge. That's just like a computer. But a computer don't know how to use it, so it's useless. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. They say wisdom teeth hit you when you're about 18 or 20. And that's because you ain't got no wisdom until you're 18 or 20. And some people don't have it when they're 30. And some people, whenever, I know boys right now in Marion that'll still sitting on car hoods at Hardee's tonight. They ain't never got it yet, man. I mean, they ain't never got it figured out yet. They still are without the wisdom that God gives. And you know people like that too. People in their funky 50s. Jagger and old Cher and poor people like that. They ain't never got it yet, man. It's never sunk in on them why we're here and what we're doing. They have a lot of knowledge, but no wisdom. And somebody said this, wisdom is first base. The Bible said in Psalm 110, verse 10, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If a man don't fear God, he ain't made it to first base yet. I don't care if he can put a rocket on the moon. I don't care if he can split an atom. I don't care if he can recite the alphabet backwards and know the encyclopedia by heart. If there's no fear of God, that man has no wisdom. That means that Einstein, one of the greatest thinkers the world's ever seen, had absolutely no wisdom. He had knowledge, but he had no wisdom. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Let me give you this verse, Proverbs 8:13. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's what it said. Bible said the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now listen, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, there ain't a whole lot of smart people running around this world. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, there's a lot of people that ain't got a whole lot upstairs here on the ball. You say, well, Brother Danny, they got these people on TV and they figured out an HBO and Sin to the Max and Hell's Box Office and Show Slime. They figured out how to get to all these up from outer space and it beams into your living room. You know what the Bible said? They're fools. Bible said fools make talk at sin. You want it a little plainer? You want it a little plainer? I'll give it to you a little plainer. If you think it's funny and cute to commit sin and get drunk and puke in it and roll around the floor and shack up and live like the devil, you ain't too bright upstairs, brother. Bible said fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Is that plain enough for you? All right. And hold your seatbelt because it's going to get worse. I'm telling you tonight, brother, that somebody said this. Let me give you some old wise sayings, okay? Here's some old wise sayings. Jewish proverb. A wise man lowers a ladder before he jumps into a pit. Pretty smart, huh? Dutch proverb. The wicked shun the light like the devil shuns the cross. Pretty good. And somebody said this. A wise man cares not for what he cannot have. That's pretty good, ain't it? You know, people are remembered for wise saying. You find books and all they got in them are wise saying. Things that people are remembered for saying. These are things like that. Somebody said, I hope that when I'm dead and gone, that you people will remember. I've preached all over the country in different countries in the world, and I preach probably still now 25 different churches a year, about 25 different weeks. About half the time I'm somewhere preaching now, and I preach to a lot of people, and I know thousands, literally tens or hundreds of thousands of people that hear my voice all the time on the radio and everything. And I hope and pray when I'm dead and gone that I've said one thing that people can live by and remember. When I know people that live their whole life and never make one statement worth anybody ever repeating. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? Somebody said, well, Brother Danny, I always remember you saying that. I always remember you saying this. That's good. Here's some you can remember me by. I ain't got a whole lot of great sayings. I ain't speak 3,000 proverbs. But I always say this. Never judge somebody till you've walked a mile in their shoes. And you better listen to that. You better get it real good, people. I know there's a lot of people that's experts on people like, well, look at them. I can't believe that. And look at that person. And I can't believe they're doing this. And I can't believe it. You better be real careful about judging another person till you've been down the same road they've been down. Buddy, I've learned that through the years. I've learned that over and over and over. I've been down some rough roads myself. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, Danny Castle this, Danny Castle that. They don't even have a clue what they're talking about. And especially the preachers. And I didn't cuss. And I'm going to tell you what, brother. Listen, I want to though. And I want to tell you something, brother. Listen, people are always looking at you saying, hey, I don't think those so-and-so. I don't like the way they do this. I don't like the way they do that. I don't like the way that quarterback, he didn't see that man wide open down there. He should have thrown the ball. I'd be real careful about judging somebody till I've been down the same road they've been down. Amen. I tell you this. I said the only thing that men learn from history is that men never learn from history. The only thing men learn from history is that men never learn from history. They that refuse to learn the lessons of history are condemned to repeat them. That means if we don't learn the lessons that history teaches of past generations, we'll go right on and make the same mistakes that they made in the generation before us. Yep. The only thing men learn from history is that men never learn from history. How about this one? You can't sling mud without losing ground. How about this one? I used to tell Carrie when she was little, I used to tell all the time, I'd look at her and say, honey, you can fool some of the people some of the time. And you can fool all the people every now and then. And you can fool some of them once in a while. And I'd go on and on and on like that. But I'd say, you can't fool God. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you listen to me. Hey, everybody listen to what I'm saying. You can fool your wife. You can fool your husband. You can fool your family. You can fool your preacher. You can fool your kids. But you can't fool God. God knows you this evening. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. He knows you this evening. And brother, you can't fool Him. I've learned a lot of them like that. How about this one? A Smith & Wesson beats four aces. That's a good one. How about never play leapfrog with the unicorn? I don't know. There's a lot of great saying that. Here's one you can remember me by. My philosophy has always been this. Expect the worst, hope for the best, take what comes, keep your mouth shut, and thank God you ain't in hell. Amen. That's a good philosophy to remember. If you don't remember me for much, remember me telling you that. Expect the worst, because it's probably going to happen. Hope for the best, and take what comes, keep your mouth shut, and thank God you ain't in hell burning tonight, begging for a drop of water on your tongue. I'm telling you, those are old sayings. Those are great sayings. But think about this. This blows mine. Solomon spake 3,000 proverbs. How many people do you know that have 3,000 wise sayings after them when they're dead and gone? 3,000. And God put most of them in the Bible. Have you ever had anything put in the Bible? Somebody said, oh, that wicked Solomon, he was married 700 times. One fool said a man couldn't be a preacher. And like, hey, Solomon was married 700 times. And you know what the Holy Ghost called him? The preacher. In Ecclesiastes. Am I right? If I'm wrong, now correct me and I'll get up next Sunday and apologize. But if I'm right, swallow it, buddy. And if you can't swallow it, choke on it. And I'm going to tell you what God called. Now, listen, I thought he was wise till I read he had 700 wives. I thought, Lord, he wasn't too smart. 700 wives and 300 concubines. And brother, can you imagine every day it was at least two of them's birthday. At least or three of them every single day. Anniversary, Solomon, shut up. I should have known better. But anyway, I'm telling you what, brother. Listen, that old boy, he was smart other than that. Other than that, the Bible said his wives turned his heart after false gods too. That's what messed him up. And so this evening, he was wise. 3,000 proverbs. How about this for a proverb? The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. pretty good. How about trust in the Lord with all thine heart? How about he that winneth souls is wise? Lord, have mercy. How about fools make a mock at sin? How about foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far? That's pretty smart, man. Pretty smart. You ain't going to get that listening to Dr. Dre and P. Diddy sin and a bunch of fools like that, kid. You better learn from the book of all books. That book right there. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs was given to give a young man wisdom and to make you smart. You kids, put your nose in the book of Proverbs and I'll give you some wisdom. Don't waste your time all day long watching BET and rap videos and VH1 and a bunch of junk like that. Stick your nose in the book. A teenager told me the other day, they said it's hard to read the Bible. I said, yeah, and I started feeling sorry for them. And I got to thinking, when I was 19 years old, I put my nose in that book when I was 18. When I was 18 years old, I read 130 chapters in one day. And I read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, and read the Bible. I said, I was 18. Some of you in here is 18, and you ain't even read chapters yet and been saved 3 or 4 years. You need to make up your mind. You're going to stick your nose in this book, that King James Bible, and let it begin to work in you. Bible said, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. It has 1,189 chapters. It has 31,175 inspired verses. It has 810,697 words, 3,566,480 letters, and every one of them is a letter from God to you. Stick your nose in that book, and you'll get the wisdom that God wants you to have. Amen. Y'all been reading your Bible? Y'all been reading your Bible? How many of you people sitting in here tonight have read the whole King James Bible from generation to revolution? Raise your hand. Amen. Every single word of it. All right, what's wrong with the rest of you? The altar's open. Come down here and say, God, I'm sorry. I'll get in that book and I'll read it. It's God's love letter to you. Put your nose in that book. You'll never go wrong putting your nose in this book. But it's in this book that sustained me through times I could have never made it through by myself. And Solomon spake these proverbs. Amen. You know what he did? Old Solomon, bless his heart. I want to say secondly tonight, when should you get wisdom? When should you get wisdom? All right. Turn back to chapter 3. Now we're going to do just a little Bible study. Chapter number 3. Amen. I know we're country and all that, but we can get the wisdom that God wants us to get. Fellow went to doctor at one time, old country feller, and he said, doctor, I got a piece of steel in my eye. He said, it's been there for a long, long time. And he said, I want to come get it out. And the doctor said, now, what year was that? He said, it ain't in my year, it's in my eye. That's the way my daddy said. But I tell you what, he called them your years. Well, listen, brother, turn your years on to the Word of God. Listen to what it said. 1 Kings chapter number 3. Look here at 1 Kings chapter number 3 and look where you get wisdom. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 5. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Hold your finger there just a second. Think about that. Here's a young man laying in the bed one night. He's laying there about half asleep, about half awake. That's when the Lord talks to you a lot of times. I don't know about you, but that's when he talks to me. A lot of times when I'm first waking up, the Lord just starts talking to me. Or something does. I ain't sure it's always the Lord. But something talks to me when I'm about half asleep and half awake. Well, old Solomon's laying there and he had a dream. And the Lord said, Solomon, you just ask. I'm giving you a blank sheet of paper. Fill it out. And I'm going to let you have anything you want. What if God come to your bedroom tonight and said, anything you want, just ask it? You say, would he really do that to me? No, he won't do that to you. Because you can't be trusted. He can't trust you. He knows what dumb things you'd ask for. Look here, what he said. And Solomon said, thou hast showed thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne. Verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou'st made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Good attitude to have. Verse 8. See, old Solomon didn't come up here and say, well, Lord, I'm the king, you know, and since I'm the king, I think I need this, and I need a new chariot to ride around in, and I need me a gold purse, and I need me a new suit of clothes. And no, he said, I'm just a little child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. And then look what he said to the Lord. And verse number 8, and thy servant is in the midst of the people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered, but counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. What about that? If God came to your room tonight and said, ask anything you want, you can have it, how many of you would say, an understanding heart? You see how far most people are away from God? You'd say, all my bills paid. Give me a husband, Lord. Boy, you got to be dumb to ask that. Ain't that right, other married ladies? What kind of a request is that? Why don't you just say, hit me in the head? I mean, look, brother. That's why God don't ask us a lot of times what we want. Our hearts, he said, give me an understanding heart. Look here, what else he said. And that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Verse 10. And speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life. He didn't ask for help. He didn't ask to live a long time. Neither hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to deserve judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any be like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, in secret, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. When should you get wisdom? When you're young. You know what Solomon did? He said, Lord, he said, just give me an understanding heart. I'm not asking for anything for myself. He said, I just want to ask. I want to be able to judge right. I want to be able to do the right thing. And God said, you said the right thing there, buddy. He said, I'm going to give you what you wanted, and I'm going to give you what you didn't want. He said, you didn't ask riches, so I'm going to give you riches. You didn't ask. You say, well, brother, if I ask God for an understanding heart, will he give me riches? No, because he knows you're asking for the wrong reason. Oh, Solomon said, that's all I want, Lord. Just give me enough sense to do what you've called me to do. Just give me enough grace to do what I'm called to do. And God, listen, you'll do what God called you to do. God will bless you and give you. What's the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, well, I've been praying for a husband. Well, God will give you one if you'll seek Him first and use wisdom. And praying for a wife. God will give you one if you'll seek Him first and put Him first and do what's right. Amen. Amen. Now look here. Here's what Solomon did. God gave him wisdom. I know people that are 10 years old with wisdom, young preacher boys, than some 60, 70, 80 year old people. See, look at the wisdom God gave Solomon. First of all, you don't have to turn to this one, but in chapter 1, there's a fellow by the name of Adonijah. And Adonijah was Solomon's brother, or brother one. And Adonijah believed that he was supposed to be the king. As a matter of fact, he went around telling everybody that he was going to be king before David ever died. You know that story. And old David, he was getting old, bless his heart. He'd been on the throne 40 years and been through battles. And he was laying there about to freeze to death. And they sought a young maiden or virgin out to try to warm him up a little bit. And he couldn't warm up. And don't get mad at me. That's what the book says. I'm just preaching. Don't get mad at me because you're a pervert. And brother, listen, she tried to just get him blood going or something. It didn't work. That's what it said. And David was about to die. And old David was laying there about to die. And he just couldn't. And I tell you what, brother, this fella's about to kick the bucket. And he's laying there. And they said, Adonijah's a king. Adonijah's running around and everybody, he's a king. He's telling the king, y'all are awful, I'm telling you. I'm preaching the Bible. You're sitting there. You've been watching too much Hell's Box Office. I'll tell you what, boy. Oh, Adonijah, he went out and said, I'm the king. I'm the king. Crown me. I'm the king. Crown me. I'm the king. And you know what? Solomon just stayed back there minding his own business. And Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, a good name for her, Bath. She came in there and she came in there and she said, King, she said, who's going to reign after you? He said, Solomon is going to reign after me. Now Adonijah came in when he found out Solomon was going to reign, and he said, have mercy on me. And most people would have had him killed. because he tried to steal the kingdom. And you know what Solomon said? He said, if he show himself a worthy man, there ain't going to be a hair on his head, Parrot. There's a smart young man. He did not take his position of power, take advantage of it, and to the extreme. He didn't say, bless God, I'm king now. Cut his head off! Now, he did have his head cut off a few chapters later, but it's because Adonijah got wicked again. But I'm telling you, he gets a change. You watch these people that ain't willing to give nobody a change. Mark people that's not willing to give anybody a change. They ain't got no wisdom in their head. You know what he said? He said, if he'll show himself a worthy man, if he'll do right, let him go free. Let him have at it and enjoy his life. That's a smart man that'll give people a change. One of the things we decided when we started Shining Light Baptist Church is that everybody, you listen to me, everybody who walks in that door back there is on level ground with everybody else. There ain't nobody in here no better than nobody else. Nobody in here has a right to look down your nose at nobody else. And I don't care how bad a man's life been, when he walks in here, the ground is level and he has a chance to serve God just like everybody else does. I can't stand to go to churches where you got this one little group that's holy and everybody else that ain't in that one little group is just down on a lower level. God ain't, that's where the Pharisees was in the Bible, and God ain't in a million miles and stuff like that. The truth is, we're all sinners that ought to be in hell, and if we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell tonight, and we better be careful about giving people another chance. He gave Adonijah a change. Smart boy. Smart young man. And then there's another story. You don't have to turn to this one, but it's in chapter number 3, verse 16 to 28. And this is a real story. Here's a young man, hadn't been on the throne very long at all. One day, there came two harlots, Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. And they came, one day. No, it wouldn't be them. They wouldn't even have the baby. They'd kill it. And they come, and these harlots come, and they had this baby. And they come in, prostitutes. Give me down just one hair, Brother Mike. They were prostitutes. They came in, and one of them had the baby's feet, and the other had the baby's hands, and they were pulling it back and forth. It's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. And everybody in the courtroom said, what's going on here? They said, we want to see the king. Here sat the young man, King Solomon. He said, yes, ma'am. What can I do for you today? And the first prostitute pulled up, and she said, me and this woman share an apartment together. And that they didn't have no pimp out. Sell like these crazy girls do now. They was in there, listen, that's who ought to be shot and put in prison, the pimps. And they're trying to make them look like they're cool cats on TV, but they ain't cool cats. They're dirty, rotten scoundrels. Get your little sister into her like that one of these days, and you'd feel the same way. Well, anyway, I know it's a little hard for some of you, but you'll get over it. Just chew it real hard. Don't sound like that. And these two harlots come in there, and one of them said, your honor, sir, king, me and her share an apartment together. And we both got pregnant and had babies. And we was both sleeping with our babies last night. And she rolled over on her baby and squashed it and killed it. And now she's trying to claim, she got up in the middle of the night, put it in my bed, and took that baby. And now she's trying to claim that's her baby and I had the dead one. He said, what do you have to say, ma'am? She said, she's lying. The live baby's mine, and the dead baby's her. She squashed it in the middle of the night and put the dead baby in my bed and got the live baby in her bed. And King Solomon and King... And everybody looked at him like, oh my goodness. See, he couldn't have no forensic science. Couldn't do no blood test back then. And old King Solomon looked at her and everybody said, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? And he said, bring me a sword. What's he going to do with a sword? Is he going to kill them women and give it the baby in a foster home? Well, it's called the social services. Lord God, that was before the social services invented. Hallelujah. So, he said, lay that baby down right there. And everybody went, what's he going to do? He's going to kill them women. He's going to kill it. And he told his sword bearer, he said, you cut that baby in half right there with that sword. And give half of it to her and half of it to her. And one of them said, okay, that's right. And the other went, no, 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 please don't kill it. And he said, take that baby and give it to her. She's the real mama. And everybody went, whoa, whoa. And word got all over town about the wisdom of that young man. People said, he's smart. Where did he get that? You didn't learn that at seminary. He didn't learn that in a book. He bought it at the Bible bookstore. God had to put that wisdom in his heart. And I'm telling you, you will come across situations in your life where there is no book that'll tell you what you've got to do. You've got to get it from the Lord. You know, our modern generation of preachers. I got on the tail end of the last generation of great preachers. I've been allowed to be with some of the greatest preachers that God has ever let preach in this country. I preached with Dr. Bob Gray from Jacksonville, Florida. I had one of the greatest churches in America when I was still in my knees. Down at Pensacola, down at Dr. Ruckman's church. I've been with Dr. Ruckman many, many times. He is the greatest Bible teacher alive on the planet today. And listen, you can get any other five Bible teachers you want and put everything they know together and can't touch half of what knows about that book. Amen? And I'm them old-timey preachers had it down here and God gave them wisdom and power. There's a big difference in a man just getting up saying something that's right and then the real wisdom that comes from God only. See, them old preachers, they get up. They may not have pronounced their words exactly right. And it wasn't always exactly straight, but their heart was right. And God can use you more if your heart's right and your head's messed up than if your head's right and your heart's messed up. I know a lot of people's got their heads straight and their heart's wicked. God can't bless that. God wants your pure heart. He wants your heart right. If your heart's right, He'll straighten out the kinks in your head. And He can still use you a lot better. Well, John Wesley was a Methodist. One of the greatest men that's ever been on this planet. He didn't even believe the right doctrine. But God used him more than any Baptist now that does believe the right doctrine. You know why? Because his heart was right with God. There's Baptists now that wouldn't even let John Wesley preach in their pulpit because he believes you can lose your salvation. What a nut! If John Wesley walked in here tonight, I wouldn't say another word. I'd sit down and say, the pulpit is yours, brother. And yourself, preach it. And Billy Sunday, all them guys, some of them was messed up in their head, but their heart was right. Amen. Them old preachers get up there, and you know what? The old preacher used to get up there one time, and they said, talking about wisdom. The old preacher got up one night, he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, I want to have, back in the days when they wore them big old hats. Ladies wore them great big old hats to church. Big old hat. And boy, I'm telling you, they'd come in, Lord, the whole family could walk underneath them things when it rained. I mean, they'd come in there, and it wasn't like that, you know. And the preacher got up that night, and he said, now, ladies, he said, the platform's not that high tonight. He said, I wish you'd remove your hats while I preach. And the world's smallest evangelist was there. Everybody removed their hats except one lady, and she just sat there and looked at him like, I'm not taking my hat off of you. He said, folks, I really wish you'd remove your hat so everybody around you can see. She just sat there and looked at him like, I ain't taking my hat off of you. Who do you think you are? He said, thank you very much, ladies. He said, I was preaching somewhere the other day, and I asked all the ladies to take their hats off, and all of them took them off but one. And, of course, come to find out, she's bald-headed. She just went, I can't. But sit down over there. Now, you know where you get that? You don't get that out of a book. You know what? You don't get that sitting in a classroom. Like that old preacher, they said they had a chicken thief in the congregation years ago, and everybody went to church on Saturday night, and there's a chicken thief, somebody's stealing everybody's chicken. He got up and he said, all right. He said, there's a chicken thief in here tonight. And he took a great big rock about that big and said on the pulpit. He said, in just a few minutes, God is going to reveal to me who the chicken thief is. And I'll take that rock and bust him in the head with it. And so he started preaching. He got in a big way, swinging his arms, hallelujah. Got in a high hum, you know. Hit about third gear. And he said, enough! God is going to reveal the chicken thief! And he grabbed this rock, right back, and one fellow back there ducked like that. You know what that is? Wisdom. Wisdom. Amen? I like that story. You've heard me tell this before, but I love this story. So this guy one time got him a job selling Bibles. And he was selling Bibles like crazy, man. Out selling everybody. And his manager got to him. Fella couldn't even talk plain. Stuttered. Worse Moses. And he got him in there and the boss man said, how in the world are you selling all them Bibles? He said, I can't believe how you selling all them things. He said, I'm just going to go with you next time and I'm going to see how you do it. He said, all right. He said, I ain't going to say a word. I'm just going with you. Went to the first house, knocked on the door. Lady came to the door. Fella took him by and he said, Bible? Oh,
for me to read it to you. Amen. Pretty smart feller, amen. But Lord, I'll buy it if you'll get out of here. Amen. How do you get wisdom? When should you get wisdom? Where, I'll say, does wisdom come from? Bible said in Proverbs 16:16, it's better to get wisdom than gold. I got credited a lot. All those years was in Marion at New Manor. All them years, there's a lot of times, and I'm going to make a confession to you tonight. I got credit for making decisions that I had absolutely no clue what I was doing. That's a truth. That's a truth. I'm telling you, I'd get up and I would pray and pray and pray and pray, and I felt like God, and people would say, what are we going to do, Brother Danny? And I'd say, we're going to do this! And I'd go home and think, oh, what have I said? What have I done? And every time it would turn out, and somebody looked back and it turned out coming out right. Every time! And I thought, how in the world? And the devil said, you just lucky, boy. And he'd do it again. And he'd do it again. And he'd do it again. And somebody said, well, how'd you know that, Brother Danny? Oh, you just got to be educated like me to know stuff like that. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But I found out the secret. If we'll pray and get our heart where we need to be with God, the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You can't go wrong following Him. You can't go wrong. Now, if I'd have listened to people, I'd have messed up 1,000 times. And every time I did listen to them, I did mess up. I'm telling you, when I just listen to the Lord, He'll never steer you wrong, not one time. It may seem crazy, but He'll never steer you wrong. Amen? Well, let me say this. Finally, where does wisdom come from? Where? Look at chapter 4. You say, well, I want that wisdom, preacher. I'd like to have a little dose of that. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4. Where does wisdom come from? Chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. Where does wisdom come from? Chapter 4 and verse number 29. Chapter 4, verse 29. Look at it. And God gave Solomon wisdom. God gave it to him. Where does wisdom come from? God gives it to you. What's the Bible saying in the New Testament? If any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. All you've got to do is ask Him for it. Amen? And He upbraideth not, the Bible said. Gave him wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sands on the seashore. Now, look at chapter 10. Chapter 10, one more about where wisdom comes from. Chapter number 10 in our little Bible study tonight. Chapter number 10 and look at verse 24. Chapter 10, verse 24. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. You know the story of the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba come over there. I forget which chapter she came in. I believe chapter 10. The Queen of Sheba come. And this queen, she come afar. She heard about the wisdom of Solomon. And she saw his servants coming in and out. Served the food and all that. She said, Lord, have mercy. I've heard about your wisdom. And the height was not told me. That's what Solomon had. The Queen of Sheba was impressed by him. Now, how mean you? Going to get wisdom tonight as we think here just as in closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, Bible says Christ is the wisdom of God. Many who people, the only way, the man who understands Jesus Christ, who He was and who He is and what His plans are, is a wise man. The man who understands Jesus Christ is a wise man. You see, the world teaches you tonight, if you went to Harvard, or if you went to Yale, or if you went to Princeton, or if you went to UNCC, or UNCA, or UNC Wilmington, or Chapel Hill, or NC State, or any of these places. You know what their basic philosophy is? Their basic philosophy is, we evolved up from nothing, a big bang out of the sky. We don't know where we come from, we don't know what we're doing here, and we don't know where we're going. That's their belief. They believe you came from an amoeba and a orangutan and a tadpole and you're going to who knows where. You're just trying to live a good life and hope they'll invent something to keep you alive a little longer. But if you understand Jesus Christ and understand that we're sinners, We didn't start out little and evolving up. We started out picking the Garden of Eden and been going down ever since. And that Christ came to die for our sins on the cross, and that He's coming back again. There's a heaven and a hell. That's the beginning of wisdom, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So a man who don't understand that has no clue what's going on in this world. Like Howard Stern. He don't have a clue. Poor fella, somebody needs to pray for him and pity him. Like Larry King. Has no clue. They don't understand who Jesus was. He's the wisdom of God. Without Jesus, you're like a man with no watch, no calendar, no map, and no compass. And if a man ain't got a watch, and a man ain't got a calendar, and a man ain't got a map, and a man ain't got a compass, there's a word for that condition. Lost. And most people tonight, listen, I got a watch. I know you don't believe I got one. I do. I just don't pay no attention to it. 7:27. I got a watch. I know what time it is. Got a calendar. It's April 11th. I got a map. I know exactly where I'm at on that map. I'm in a little spot called Morganton, right on Highway 70 East. Right over there is Interstate 40. That way is Atlantic Ocean. That way is Pacific Ocean. That way is New York. That way is Florida. That way is the Bahamas. And that way is Texas. And that way is Chicago. And that way is heaven. Direct north of right here. I know exactly where I'm at. I know where I'm at on God's calendar. I'm at the end of the seventh church age, the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, that thought it was rich and increased with goods and has need of nothing, but knows not that it's wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Nice, beautiful buildings and dead as four o'clock. I know where I'm at. I know what time it is. I got a calendar. I ain't lost. Like that little fellow sitting there one day, little country fellow, and he's sitting there like this, sitting out in front of a store whittling. About that time, this big fine car pulls in, and a businessman in a suit got out, and he come around and say, "Hey, young man, which way's this road go right here?" He looks out. "I don't know." Just kept whittling. He said, "Well, what about turn to the left here? Which way's that go?" The fellow said, "I don't know." He said, "What if I turn to the right? Which way's it go?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Don't you know nothing?" He said, "I know I ain't lost." And people say, "Well, what's going to happen in 2005? "I don't know." "What, when's oil prices coming down?" "I have the slightest idea." "Well, don't you know nothing?" "I know I ain't lost. I know what I'm doing here. I know my Redeemer liveth, and I'm going to stand before Him at the last day. I know what my purpose in this life is. I know I'm called to preach. I know that. I know that God's given me this job that I'm doing right now. I know more than most people." You know how you know that? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I'm challenging you tonight. Put your nose in this book. Bible produces rugged individualism. What I mean by that? That means you can't mentally or socially enslave a Bible-reading people. And the reason America's going down the tube tonight is because we quit reading our Bibles. Quit reading your book, you'll turn atheist. Make a wicked person out of you. Now listen to this. I'm talking about wisdom. You got to be a little smart to get this. "He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Teach him. Shun him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is simple. You can teach him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep. Wake him. But he knows and knows that he knows is a wise man. Follow him." One more time for you that got off on the second one. He that knows not that he knows not, he's a fool. You better stay away from him. Somebody that ain't got no sense and don't even know they ain't got no sense, you better get away from them real fast. Have you got it? Did I explain it now? You ever met people stupid and don't even know they're stupid? That's a man you better stay away from. I find it in your language where you can get it. I'll say the rest of them like that. He that's stupid and knows that he's stupid, you can help him. If a man's stupid and he said, "I'm just stupid," help, you can help him. But a man who knows, and he don't, he knows, he's asleep. You can wake him up.
But a man that knows and knows that he knows, he's a wise man. Follow him. The wisdom of Solomon came from God. Solomon wasn't necessarily born, I don't reckon, with a higher IQ than anybody else. Probably a pretty smart fella by birth because David was his daddy. But the wisdom, the Bible said, God put in his heart. You know what I'm going to do tonight? They're going to come and get us a song. I'm going to get down here tonight on the floor and I'm going to ask God to give me wisdom. Because I know not how to go out or come in. I know, listen, we're praying about buying some land, building a church. I don't have the slightest idea. I know I got preferences. I know what I'd like. But I want what God wants. You can't go wrong doing what He wants. And I'm going to ask Him to put wisdom in my heart. Would you do that too? Listen, we may not have the best looking building. We may not have the best choir. We may sure ain't got the best preacher.